This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, May 12, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half. That's your responsibility. We have the expert. Let's get it right from him. When a New York coach gets fired, that has to lead the show, whether it's hockey or whatever. And David Quinn was relieved of his duties of coaching the New York Rangers. Now, as an aside, which is shocking, I'm gonna throw this question at Peter. Peter, who's the longest tenured coach in New York?
The longest tenured
coach or manager.
The longest it's Aaron Boone.
It's Aaron Boone.
God, Aaron bleeping Boone.
Aaron Boone, and Barry Trotz is a couple of months behind him.
Yeah, crazy.
Aaron
right?
Boone. Anyway, that's an aside. So, Don, surprised? Warranted?
No.
Who's next?
No, I wasn't surprised. Do I think it's deserving? No. But when you see that kind of change, that you had to figure that the coach was going to be in a lot of trouble, and I think they seriously thought about it and talked about it and felt like it was probably time for a change. And that change to me, and I would be shocked if it wasn't John Tortorella. His relationship with Jim Dolan, the success that Tortorella had here, it seems like the rebuild's been accelerated. Why not bring in a guy that has a ring, had success here in New York, had success in Columbus? That, to me, looks like the guy.
All right, but from what I've heard, Don, and read, the players hated him at the end. It was an insurrection at the end when they had the interviews. After they said he has to go. That's why he went. Well, why? I know it's different players, but
yeah,
it seems like he wears out his welcome.
He does. He's one of those guys. He's like that bad contract in baseball, right, where you know the last couple of years aren't going to be good, but you hope you win in the first couple. And, yeah, I think Henrik Lundqvist was probably the ringleader in the exit for Tortorella at the end of the 2013 season. Not to say he got him fired, but I'm sure he wasn't thrilled with the way things were going. But that's kind of what John Tortorella is. He rubs people the wrong way and will have a very short shelf life. But while you have him, you will have success. Went to a conference final with him in 2012. And the very next year that he left, AV went to the Stanley Cup final. But a lot of that had to do with what was built around Tortorella. No success in Vancouver, but success in Columbus since he left the Rangers. And I think that that's something that Jim Dolan's going to look at and say, I want to have him back here as the head coach. Yes, he will. He will eventually rub Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider the wrong way. But as you said, those were guys that weren't here the last time. And I think that that's where I believe everything that I'm hearing, everything that I'm feeling, that would be the guy. His contract was up in Columbus, and he was not retained by the Blue Jackets, so he's available. So that's who I think it's going to be.
Is there a relationship between Tortorella and Drury?
Yeah, he played with him. He knows him. But I think this is going to be a Dolan thing. Now, not that Drury isn't going to get behind it, but I think that that relationship, and that's important because from what I was hearing, Michael, there was no relationship between Quinn and Dolan. There was no relationship between Gorton and Dolan. And I think those are the things that really led to the exit of those guys. I think, you know, Jim wants to be involved, but I think he wants to have a good relationship, a working relationship with those guys. And he had that with Tortorella, right? We heard stories, Michael, where, you know, Torts would be in the room with Jim Dolan, you know, after games, talking to him. I think Torts knows how to play that game, and I think that's what they'll lean on for a team that's going to be expected to take that next jump. So you want somebody with experience. I think Babcock is kind of right now not in a good way because of some of the things and the allegations that happened in Toronto and the abuse of players and that. And so I think he's kind of persona non grata right now. I think Gallant's going to go to Seattle. Brind'Amour is a possibility, but I think he's going to get renewed in Carolina, especially if the Hurricanes make a run to the Cup. So this to me seems like the guy, And we'll see if that becomes official anytime soon.
Would they ever roll the dice and go with Messier, who was on this air and said he would want to coach?
I heard that.
I have not heard that that's a possibility. He was up for the job, apparently, when Alain Vigneault took over.
Right.
And didn't get it. And they've since hired Quinn after Vigneault. So, I mean, just reading the tea leaves, Michael, it doesn't seem like he has ever been a legitimate option for them. And with so much on the line, with where they are right now and the acceleration of the rebuild and the expectations, honestly, can you afford to go with a guy that's never done it before? And nobody knows hockey like Mark Messier, but you know what I'm saying, Michael. This is something that's real. This is a really important hire. And when you've got a list of guys that have been there and done that, wouldn't that be the smarter move than to bring in a guy that has never been a head coach before?
You would think so, but, you know, but the Yankees thought they were going to win a World Series. They brought in a guy who was never a coach or a manager before. I mean, so it's been done.
It's been done, but, again, I don't want to make it seem like Boone's a puppet, Michael, but baseball's different. You know, you're not asked to do the things you are in other sports. Like, you can be an inexperienced manager because it seems like the Yankees have their decision-makers already in place and the analytics really drive it. So you just wanted somebody that was fresh off of just playing, fresh off of just broadcasting, that can really work with the players day in and day out from a relationship standpoint to send the message from the organization. You know, you're going to be coaching here, and you're going to be doing a lot of things here and a lot of expectations that I think should go to someone, whether it's Tortorella or Gallant or Brind'Amour or whoever, Michelle Therrien, guys that have done that before, guys that have won before. That's what you have to do when you've made the moves that you've made here. Going to a neophyte would really surprise me, even somebody as significant as Mark Messier.
So there you have it. David Quinn relieved of his duties, and must not have been easy for Drury, because Drury was one of the people that championed Quinn coming here, you know, from the same college, and, you know, liked Quinn a lot. But obviously, the reason that Gorton and Davidson were let go is that, you know, the process wasn't expeditious enough. So I guess they felt that David Quinn was not the guy to take them to the next level. And that happens a lot. I mean, it happens a lot. You see it, like, there's a guy that builds a team, and then all of a sudden when they're ready to go, they bring in somebody else. Happened with the Cubs, happened with the White Sox. It happens. So David Quinn is the collateral damage. And you figured that when the coach and the GM and the president get fired, that the coach is probably next. He can't be exonerated from any blame. I mean, it had to be a triumvirate that put this team together and came to an agreement. So
sure.
I guess I'm not shocked that he was fired.
No, I'm not shocked either, but I think it's deserving? No, I think he did a good job when he was here. I know a lot of Ranger fans disagree, but a lot of players grew under his tutelage. Bushnevich became a really good player. Adam Fox became a star. So he did a lot of good things here. He did. And he gets it. He understands the game. He'll be back, whether it's college or in the pros. He'll find another job again.
And he has two years left on his deal, so he'll get paid.
Yeah. And I had fun. I had a lot of fun being around him and talking hockey with him. He was a really good guy. He was a fun guy to deal with. So I'm sorry to see him go.
Yep, absolutely. You don't like to see anybody lose their job. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, before we get into the Jets and what we know of their schedule, I've got to give kudos to Peter Rosenberg.
Me?
Interesting.
Yeah. So I saw the cover of your upcoming album that's about to drop.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
And if it's my Instagram friend who took that picture, it's a beautiful cover.
Yes, Natalie Miss Hatton took that photo, and I was trying to come up with ideas for an album cover, and I was like, it was really awkward because it's a compilation. You know, I mean, I produced this album in the way I explain it to people who don't understand what the role is in something like this. It's sort of like a director of a film, you know, but it's not like I'm rapping or made the music. So I was coming up with ideas, and then I was like, wait a second. It's named after my late night radio show. It's all New York based. And she takes these pictures in New York. I was like, do you have any awesome, like, nighttime New York photos? And she gave me this one, and we kind of added some color to it, and it's pretty amazing. Thanks.
It is amazing. I'm going to have to take another look at her Instagram and Twitter feed.
Did you see the name of yesterday's podcast by any chance?
No, I didn't. What was it?
Don, did you see it?
I did not, no.
The name of yesterday's TMKS episode was Creep.
Yeah. Wow.
Which I thought was very funny. But
you know, I am not an animal.
Dave Rothenberg now thinks that he's been exonerated from being a lurker. But if you listen to the promo, Rick DiPietro said, at least Michael admitted it. You're a lurker. He didn't lurk.
Wait, there's a promo about you, about us saying that you're the new creep, not Dave?
Yeah. And who's
Diana,
the one who...
I have been lurking.
Who's the person who put the heading of creep on it?
You know, it's a great question.
That would be me.
That's you?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I wasn't sure, but
I thought you were my guy.
But you went so all in on it for over an hour. I didn't think it was an issue. I thought you were just kind of almost proud of it.
No, but I didn't think I was being a creep.
And also, the reason I really love this is every time I read the word creep, I don't think of the TLC classic. I think of Don's performance many years ago of
that
Creep.
That was a great performance.
Was that a holiday, Don?
Every day Don performs, it's a holiday.
I think that was a holiday performance.
I think I did it at the Christmas.
And that's my favorite part of it, Don. And I don't even know that you've ever seen
it. It's
the
one
humor.
Of the great Christmas songs of all time.
Right. Because when you think happy times of the holidays, you think Don performing the song Creep.
Right. I'm a creep. I'm a, what's the next song?
I'm a loser.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo. That's what it is.
And that's
I'm
why
a
it's really.
Creep.
That's
I'm
why it's
a
really.
Weirdo.
That's why it's really.
What the hell
song.
Am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
Now we're.
And that's
Rob
what
McCune
you should have been saying to yourself
creep.
When you were scrolling down our Instagram, saying, "I shouldn't be here. I don't
no,
belong
I never,
here."
Never for a moment did I think I shouldn't be
well,
here.
Well, that's, that, that's why you're
if
a creep.
I had hacked
you're
into
the,
her
the,
computer.
The creep is the last to know he's a creep.
No. If I had hacked into a computer, that makes me a creep. Whoa. This is public. This is for public consumption.
There's a key word
I was consuming.
There.
Oh, you sure were.
Did you talk to Natalie about it? Does she have a problem?
No. She is an incredibly good sport. She thought the entire thing was funny. I believe she's actually listening right now.
Well, but this would be an awkward invite to a possible
in.
Wedding.
You know what? I'm never having a loved one call this program again. I think we remember what happened last time. Ballard's still in therapy.
Well, Mindy had a good experience calling in the show.
That's true. She's
oh, this is so exciting.
See?
That's right. Yeah, because she loves being called the Mindy Rue.
All right, listen, thank you for mentioning it, though. The album does come out 6-4, and I'm not going to lie. If you are a fan of, like, if you're a hip-hop fan, this is a solid 13 cuts. Under 40 minutes, Don. I kept it nice and tight. I'm not trying to give anyone a double album, but it's. I'm excited, and hopefully we'll talk about it more as it approaches.
So it's going to be a couple of weeks of a big self-promotion. 6-4, the album drops. 6-15, the book drops.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so, oh, yeah.
One guy's peddling a book. The other guy's peddling an album. What should I sell?
The Don Show. That special half hour that you get every now and then.
When is that back? I heard yesterday's
Thursday
was classic.
And Friday.
If wow.
We're taking the great Wizards-Hawks game tonight.
Can we talk about that for a second? So is that on the air because of the Knicks implications?
Yes.
And it's a good programming decision. I really believe that.
Knicks-Hawks. I mean, sorry, that would make sense. Wizards, Hawks.
That makes sense. The Wizards, the Hawks are big.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
No, but that wasn't great. That was just a misstatement, but this is great today. By the way, Don, how did Raddick do in his play-by-play debut?
Oh, very good.
Hey, I'm hearing bad things. So I'm glad
really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
In what circles do you run?
Kenny Albert texted me, said, EJ, a lot to be desired. That's what Kenny said.
There's no way that happened. First of all, it wouldn't be accurate from Kenny. Second, that's not something Kenny would ever do.
Oh, Kenny would do that.
And Kenny
that
had his
the
hands
top
full.
Job at TNT, come on.
Kenny had his hands full last night. There was a chess tournament that he's calling voluntarily in Delaware.
All right, so. Parts of the NFL schedule have come out the whole first week. And whoever puts the schedule together certainly has either a sense of humor or a flair for the dramatic because the Jets are playing the Panthers in week one.
Yeah.
Now, talk about pressure. Talk about a scrutinized game. So if Sam Darnold starts for the Panthers, and that certainly is the plan, and he lights the Jets up, I mean, you think fans are going to give that decision a couple of years to breathe? they'll make an automatic assumption that they made the wrong move. And is Zach Wilson going to start that game? I mean, talking about the pressure on Zach Wilson, he's going to have to essentially outperform the guy that he's replacing. So the NFL has quite the sense of humor, and it is a dramatic play. It's a smart play.
And that tells you that the NFL knows that Wilson's starting opening day, right?
But even if Wilson doesn't start, just the fact Sam going up against a team that gave up on him.
Hey, listen, they play the Panthers, right? So I think the anticipation is, get it in there right away. He's not returning to New York. He's going to be in Carolina, but there'll be a lot of starch gone if Hoyer is the starting or whoever they get to be the backup quarterback. I think Wilson's starting week one. I think that's the anticipation. So get it right out of the way. And then Giants-Broncos is good, too.
Do you guys agree that it was a weird week one schedule?
So, why? We got Cowboys-Bucks. That's a good one. That's the first game.
I didn't say not good, just weird.
Well, what's weird?
I don't think there's anything divisional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have
Jaguars-Texans, so you get the new quarterback an automatic win.
Washington Chargers. I think Andrews Eagles have the Falcons. Like, it's just a strange – it's not how they've been doing it recently. I'll just say that.
Now, he's not going to say anything because he's a gentleman. Do you think that Sam Darnold's ever wanted to perform at the highest level possible, more so than that game? Does he just want to completely embarrass the Jets? He would never say it. He's not that guy.
Never.
But everybody has a little Michael Kay lurking in them. Mm. You know that he wants to destroy them.
And that said, he's probably a little disappointed that it's week one. You're only going to have the three preseason games, right? So he probably would wish that he'd be a little bit more into his season, right, before, right there week one, to then have to, because you think he'll be all on board, the new system. It's going to be literally only his fourth game with the team, the three preseason games. He might even play in one of them, right? So is that optimum for him to perform the first week of the season, as opposed to week 10 when maybe he's in a bit of a groove? I don't know.
I mean, it's not like he's a rookie. If he was a rookie, I'd see what you're saying. I mean, he should be ready to go.
New system. I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine. I think he's going to do well in Carolina. But he probably, his first game in the NFL, he probably doesn't need this as well.
I think Joe Douglas probably sits down like the week before with Robert Saleh and goes, yeah, you've got to stop Sam from going off. Mr. Defense, you better stop Sam from going off.
Yeah, because even though it's only three preseason games, there'll be a narrative that's built up into that game. Like, how does Wilson play in the preseason? How is Darnold perform? Where is the team? And listen, I don't know. I have no indication that the Jets are going to be an awesome team next year, not with a rookie quarterback and a new head coach. So it's probably going to be another rebuilding year for them. And Carolina looks like they're ready to go. They brought in the quarterback, gave him the fifth-year option. This is their guy. So it's a tough spot for the Jets, but I don't think it's really about wins and losses. It's about how do the two quarterbacks perform. You could probably live with Carolina beating you. It's in Carolina opening day, but don't have it because Darnold went out there and threw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Don't have it be that way. And that your rookie quarterback throws two pick sixes.
Interesting. And I think the Giants-Denver is interesting. And at the beginning of the Giants' schedule allows them to get off to a decent head start. But that would be not the case if, in fact, the Broncos end up getting Aaron Rodgers. Then all of a sudden that becomes a bear of a first game.
Dear God.
But we got little nuggets. It looks like because they can't contain themselves, right? I mean, this piecemeal announcement of the schedule hasn't really worked out. Looks like Bucks Patriots week 4.
Week 4, okay.
And we know the Jets are going to play in London, so Ira's going to have that dilemma.
He's not going to have a dilemma. He's going to get on a plane.
Because now it's real.
He's going to get on a plane and go.
So there's that. Love it.
Why is it like this though? This piecemeal, throughout the day, you just see more things.
Because they want the NFL to dominate the entire day.
So they just leak things out here and there?
No, they don't want it leaked out. It just leaks out. People can't keep them.
They want things leaked out.
If they wanted it tight, it would be tight, no?
No, but yeah.
That's football!
Michael, they don't want it leaked out because they're having specials. Right? I mean, they're putting a lot into 8 o'clock, the announcement of the schedule. What good is it if it's all leaked out all over the place?
Maybe they know that they're so big that they can get both.
Oh, yeah. They are.
They can get the leak all day and then still have you tune into the special.
Well,
absolutely they could.
It's scary that this is such a thing. I mean, I was watching the news today, Peter, at noon. I try to get caught up on what's going on in the world.
Sure.
Now, what news is that you watch?
I watch Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
That's right.
Disney guy.
I watched that, and it was a news story. Not in the sports, in the actual news portion of the news, that the schedule was out and announcing who the Jets and Giants are playing week one. A news story.
There's nothing bigger than the NFL. We know that. We said it. It's what we do. We'll talk about the Knicks' tough loss yesterday, which would have clinched a playoff spot. But all they have to do is win one of the next three games, and they clinch it anyway. But we'll have Mike Breen on at 3. So this weekend, Mike officially goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll talk to him about that.
Mm.
The Nets with a nice win last night over the Bulls, so they're straightening things out. And we might be able to, it's being reported that James Harden will play tonight against San Antonio. Wait, so that's good.
But is Kyrie in?
That we don't know yet.
Huh.
Took one to the head.
Can I complain about one piece of the Knicks game last night?
Oh, of course you can.
Listen, things are going great. And I don't even think you sweat an OT 2-point loss to the Lakers, right? But you guys know I've said many times how much I want to see Randle hit that game winner. Another one last night.
Yep. Although that arching 3-pointer was special.
Oh, no. And listen, and he's been great. I'm in no way knocking how unbelievable he's been. But, guys, if he hits that running shot last night to end it in regulation. Oh.
And he should have.
And he should have. It was a good look.
Yeah, he had a good look. 1-800-919-3776. We have so much to do today. The Mets are beating up on the Orioles. And by the way, Matt Harvey received a standing ovation from the crowd when he took the mound and then when he came up to the plate the first time. And the Yankees with a big 3-1 victory over Tampa Bay last night. And they have Gerrit Cole going tonight. So a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm quite thrilled about the show today. I really am. Quite thrilled. I'm not thrilled with the title of yesterday's podcast, and Andrew and I have to have a talk. It's unbelievable that he did that.
Good for you, Andrew.
Now, Donald, just riddle me this, Donald. You've been the first voice heard on the station.
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew used to produce Mike Lupica's show here.
I will fight you after this show.
Am I right?
Yes, he did. And
now,
well.
What would happen? Just let's game play it here, okay? Spitballing right here. What would happen if he labeled a Mike Lupica podcast as creep? Take me through that.
Well, he would be verbally assaulted.
Okay.
And I'm sure a phone call would be placed to management for Andrew to be disciplined in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So that's what you want. You want to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy, but I want to be somewhere where I have a modicum of respect for my producer. He
it
obviously has
horrifying.
No respect for me.
No, I think he respects you, but I think ultimately he respects the show and honesty.
Yeah, but I think fear is a good thing to have.
I'm sorry, Michael. If 20 years, if nobody fears you, they're not going to.
So two things.
I know you want that so desperately. It's not going
to
happen.
Two things in response to that. First of all, Mike Lupica had a great sense of humor, and if he spent an hour doing that, and I labeled the podcast, I really think he would have found it funny. Second, Anthony just brought this up to me. You were actually annoyed yesterday with Anthony for not making it the basis of the rejoin. You just
right,
seemed so proud of it that I
was proud because I don't think I was being a creep. But you didn't just title the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You editorialized.
But that is actually a thing. Like, Peter, help me out. When people are doing that on other people's social media, it's literally called creeping on that person. Like, that's how it's known. Whether you know that or not, that is literally the thing that you were doing. It's called that.
Yeah, no, that's true. If he had gone stalker, that would have been even more aggressive. Creep was a fair He wasn't necessarily saying you are a creep, though you may be. That's not what he was saying. He was saying you were creeping.
You scary, bruh.
Wow.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. I don't know what to do with this situation, but something will be done. 1-800-919-3776. Don, I'm finally going to take your advice. I'm going to start swinging it around. I don't think that, you know, I should be called a creep.
I'm glad you've chosen this moment to start.
Somebody sent me the entire Jet schedule.
Who did?
Seriously?
I've got a confidential Jet schedule in my hands. Should I give it out?
Yes.
All right,
Let's do it.
We'll take a brief timeout, and I think this is the confidential Jet schedule.
And if it is, we can do win-win, loss-loss, win-win, loss-loss.
People are waiting for that for months, yeah. Interesting. All right, Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so I was wondering whether or not I should give this schedule out because, you know, I like to do the right thing, but the New York Post just put it out. So if they're going to do it, then I'm going to do it. Here are their preseason games, Don and Peter, at the Giants, which is home for them, at Green Bay, and hosting Philadelphia. So those are the three. Regular season, September 12th at the Panthers. September 19th, the home opener, Patriots come to town. September 26th at Denver. October 3rd, Tennessee Titans at home.
Oh, the Titans.
Mm-hmm. October 10th, I still contend Ira will be going at the Falcons home game, but in London.
Nailed it.
Yep. October 17th is bye.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
It's a bye week.
Oh. Got it. Okay.
October 24th is at the Patriots. So get the Patriots out of the way away.
Do you mean the Somerset Patriots?
No, New England.
Got it.
October 31st, a Halloween afternoon. The Jets play the Joe Burrow-led Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals.
Yeah. Okay. November 4th at Indianapolis. That's a Thursday nighter. November 14th, Buffalo Bills at home.
Oh, Buffalo.
November 21st, a Miami Dolphins at home. November 28th at the Houston Texans. December 5th, hosting the Eagles. Andrew will be clamoring for suite tickets. December 12th, New Orleans Saints at MetLife. December 18th or 19th at the Dolphins. December 26th, day after Christmas, you get a gift of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, the number one quarterback.
It's Trevor time, baby.
Yeah.
Yep, sure.
January 2nd, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to try to be slipping into the playoffs at that point because they're not going to have a great year, but they're going to try to slip into the playoffs. And then the Jets will finish off their 17-game slate on January 9th at the Buffalo Bills.
Hmm. So they get Buffalo twice late.
Yep. November 14th and January 9th.
Now, Paul Schwartz is reporting, Michael, from the Post.
The Giant schedule?
Just two little tidbits. They're two Monday night games. It says, looks like Monday night football games for the Giants will be Week 8, which is November 1st at Kansas City, and Week 11, November 22nd at Tampa.
Ooh.
Nice. And by the way, for anyone who's awaiting the Washington schedule,
no.
December 26th, Washington-Dallas Sunday night football.
Interesting. Now, do you think it's too early, guys? I know a lot of people want it. Is it too early for the always famous never boring, win-loss, win-loss, loss-loss, win game.
It's not only that we should we do it, we have to do it.
It's never
too early. It's a tradition unlike any other.
The seal was broken when Rex was predicting a Super Bowl before the draft a few years ago. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so here we go.
All right.
At the Panthers.
Okay.
That's an L.
I am going to go. Are we writing down our own here?
I'm writing it.
I am going with Samuel Darnold and the Carolina Panthers.
I'm going to give the Jets a win.
Wow.
Yeah. Patriots at home. That's a loss.
Yes.
I am going to go with a Jets win.
Wow.
At the Broncos. I'm going to give them a big, fat W.
Yes, they've played well recently, and I'm going to bank on, there's no Rodgers there yet, so I'll say W.
No, I believe the Broncos are going the right direction. At Mile High, I'm going with the Broncos.
October 3rd, the Tennessee Titans. That's at home, so I'm going to give them a win.
I got a loss.
I'm going to remind everyone of who the Titans have really been over the last 2 years. That's a loss.
Okay. October 10th at the Falcons. That's a win for me. I got them 4-1 so far.
Well, that's at London.
Yep.
No, that's a loss.
You got them 1-4, Don. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, it's in London. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. You two negative nabobs. All right, then a bye week. At the Patriots.
I'm going to go with the bye week.
I'm going to give them a loss at the Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to lose to in New England. Yeah, loss.
Then they host the Bengals. I'm giving them another win.
Yeah, that's a win.
They can beat the Bengals.
All right. At Indianapolis, that's Thursday night matchup. I'm giving them a win there.
Indy's really good.
I believe in Salah, so you have a loss. How about you, Peter?
I'm going to take a win on the short week. They're going to shock the world, beat the Colts.
Miami Dolphins at home. I am going to give them a loss. No. First up, the Buffalo Bills. Give them a loss.
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 All right. Then the Dolphins at home. I'm going to give them a loss.
Win.
They can beat the Dolphins at home.
At the Texans. That's got to be a W.
Yeah. I mean, this Watson thing is going to still be a problem. So,
yeah, this is literally one of those things that's impossible to predict because we have no. Because if it's Watson, we're all going loss, right?
Right, but.
But let's go no Watson, and we'll go Jets win.
Then the Eagles come to town, and just despite Andrew, who called me a creep, I'm giving the Jets a win.
Yeah, I'm going to say win, too.
Well, Andrew be damned. I'm giving the Jets a win because the Eagles are going to be terrible.
Then the New Orleans Saints, without Drew Brees, come to town. At this point, I think little Zach is going to be cooking, so I'm going to give the Jets a win.
Put them in the Super Bowl on Michael's count.
I'll say loss.
Yeah, I don't know what the quarterback situation will be. Who's going to be? I'm going to go with the Saints.
Then we have at the Dolphins. I'm going to give them a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to split. The Dolphins. They'll split with the Finns. Lose that one.
Jacksonville Jaguars at home. It's a big win for Zach Wilson and company.
Yeah, that's a win.
Tim Tebow will catch a touchdown, though. Go ahead. What else?
He'll be cut before then.
Peter?
No. Trevor's going to have a big day, a lot to prove. The Jags win.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town needing a win. I'm giving them a loss. I'm giving the Jets a loss.
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 And at the Bills, I'm giving them a loss.
Loss.
Yeah, they're getting swept by the Bills. That's
right. All right, let's count it up. Peter first. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You have them 6-11.
I think that is astoundingly accurate.
Don, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You have them 6-11.
That's right.
Michael, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have them 10-7, baby. Wow. Yeah. You're New York Jets.
Well, that's quite the turnaround. So right there, 10-7, Peter. Playoffs, Robert Saleh's coach of the year.
Yep.
Right? Zach Wilson's rookie of the year.
Yep.
That's a big season. Wow, we've got a lot to look forward to. This is almost bigger than what the Knicks are doing.
Well, wait, am I wrong at 6-11, Anthony? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 6-11.
That's what I got myself, 6-11.
Now, who wants to play this game next with the leaked Giants schedule? Because I have that, too.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's only fair.
I'm seeing a leak online. You think it's real?
This is the leak portion of the show.
Steve Brudzinski said, if Ballard calls in and gives us Packers win-loss predictions, can I do the same thing for the Vikings? No, you can't, Steve.
Well, you know,
and
you
if Ballard did it, it has to be a six-hour show.
Peter's not allowed to do it for the Washington team, so.
If you did it with Ballard, though, each game he'd go, I mean, what can I say? We don't have enough information. It could be one team. It could be the other team. We can't control it.
Don't make fun of Ballard. Look, your mother might shut you out like she's done to me.
It's a great point.
He'd give the speech in White Man Can't Jump. Sometimes when you lose, you win. And sometimes when you win, you lose. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie.
Do you want to hear the supposed leaked Giants schedule?
Why wouldn't we?
Let's tease it because we're right up against
it. Let's do it next.
Let's do it next. The always famous, never boring win loss, 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 win game. And you have to say it in that exact
win,
way.
Win loss, 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 win.
That's
there
right.
There you go. Although you guys have way more losses in the Jets schedule than I did. So the Giants coming up next. You don't even have to watch the season after we do this. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so Peter has gotten his greasy hands on a Giant schedule, and now we'll play the always famous, never boring win-loss, win-loss, loss-loss, win game. Go for it, Peter.
I do want to emphasize one thing. Michael's schedule for the Jets was confirmed by the New York Post.
Right.
Mine is from a random person on Twitter.
Well, wait a minute.
Well, hold on.
Do that.
But I feel good about it based on some things that we know to be true. I think this is legit.
But could we find a more legitimate source than random?
Well, wait. Ralph Vacchiano from SNY TV now has it on Twitter.
Well, get all right, it. Use that, Peter, please.
So, week one.
Well, let me get Vacchiano's up here so I can, like, correct you if you're wrong.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know what? It's a video.
And, Michael, are you writing this down or am I?
Yes, I am, my friend.
All right. I have week one home against the Denver Broncos.
That's a win.
Again, since I'm going with no Rodgers with the Jets, I'm going to say win.
I think the Giants.
I didn't hear you.
I said I'm going to go with no Rodgers in Denver the same way I did with the Jets.
Okay.
So I'm going to say win.
I'm going to give it a win also for Joe Judge and Co.
Okay, good.
Week two at the Washington football team.
Yeah.
That's a loss.
That's a win.
I'm going to go loss.
Go on.
Week three, home against the Atlanta Falcons.
W.
Yeah, W.
I'm going to go W as well.
All right.
Again, in the potentially leaked but also potentially fake Giants schedule, week
we
four.
We have the real one here. This is not fake.
Oh, you're confirming this also?
Yes.
Okay. Week four at the New Orleans Saints.
I can't make them go 4-0, so that's a loss.
Loss.
Week five, they travel to the big house. The AT&T house, the Dallas Cowboys.
I always embarrass the Cowboys at home. Give me a W.
Loss.
I'm going to go loss. Week six, home against the Los Angeles Rams.
Loss. Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's loss. A toughie. I'm going to go Giants win.
Okay.
Week seven, home against Sam Darnold in his former home, the Carolina Panthers.
Win.
But don't worry, because week eight, they head out to Chieftown. Get some barbecue, maybe lay in bed with some of Andrew's friends, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a Monday nighter.
It's a big loss.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Week 9, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but what happens when Las Vegas comes to MetLife?
Win.
Win for me.
I'll go win. Week 10, they play BYU. Oh, no, this is a bye. They have a bye week. Week 10. Week 11, they head down to Tampa Bay.
Now, I'm gonna break this down for the people. They'll beat Tampa Bay because they'll put pressure on Handsome Tom, and that's going to be a win. That's going to be an upset. Now,
I was thinking the same thing. They got to beat somebody good, so win.
No, it's a loss.
Interesting.
Week 12, home against a Philadelphia Eagles.
They destroy them with every ounce of being in their body after what they did last year.
Win.
Win. Week 13, much like I'm doing this weekend, a little trip to Miami.
Loss.
Win.
Win! Then they take a trip out west to Los Angeles against the Chargers.
Loss.
Yeah, I'll say loss.
Win!
Mm.
Week 15, home against Dallas.
Win.
Loss.
They'll split against Dallas.
Loss. Week 16, I-95, maybe the Amtrak down to Philadelphia.
Win.
Win. Win. Week 17, get your gloves in your hat. They're going to Chi-Town.
Win.
Yeah, win.
Win. Week 18, at home against Washington Football.
Loss.
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 Let's total it up for the people. Peter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have them 10-7.
Okay.
Don, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 7. In lockstep with Peter. Michael, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We all have them 10-7.
Wow. We're professionals.
Took a different route to 10-7, but we all have them at 10-7.
Now, what's interesting is that Peter and I both had them, the Giants and the Jets, improving by 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's doable, right? I mean, I think with a new coach, new quarterback, that the Jets should be improved, and 4 games is, I think that's the max that you could really ask any team that won 2 games and with the Giants 6 to improve 2. The Giants made obviously a lot of moves to get better, but I think that's fairly realistic for the 2.
I think so too.
What Jet fan thinks they're going to win more than 6 games, other than Michael?
I do. All right, let's bring in Ira. Because he has to be challenged after yesterday's amazing statement. Ira in Staten Island. Ira, how are you?
Hey, Michael. What's happening, boys? How's everything?
You are going to be in London this season. I guarantee it.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Michael, but Don got it right. It's just, you know, not comfortable leaving the country right now. It is what it is. We'll see what comes in the fall, but I wouldn't bank on it. But the rest, Carolina's booked. My wife and I are going down there. We're taking care of some other ones. But you're talking about the win-loss games here. You know, it's interesting. I love the Donald matchup right out of the gate. I think it's intriguing to have an interesting game like that. But you look at the schedule, and realistically, I mean, listen, with all due respect to Saleh and, you know, and Zach Wilson, who I'm very high on, listen, if this team wins 6 to 7 games, it's going to be vastly improved from the last 2 years. It's a little bit of a tough schedule. I think it could be. I think they could get to 7 if the Bills are not playing for anything the last week of the year. So I'm gonna go with 7-10 because the Bills will be resting their players the last week of the year.
Okay. I think that all of you are just afraid to love. That's it. You're all afraid to love.
But you're asking way too much.
Right? I know I am. That's what I do in life. Strive for greatness.
First of all, you're. The only time that's ever happened, when the Jets went 1-15, then Parcells took
that's
over,
right.
They went 9-7.
Parcellulite.
All right.
So they
improved by 8 games. So you're saying they're going to improve, now granted, an extra game, but you're talking about like a Bill Parcells type of improvement.
It's a different team.
It's a different team, but you know, Robert Saleh's never been a head coach before.
Oh,
Bill
he's
Parcells.
Be great. I believe in Saleh.
Had rings jingling and jangling, and plus everybody admitted when they looked at that, when they looked at the talent that the Jets had in 96, they weren't a 1-15 team. You know, the Jets were awfully coached, and they weren't exceptionally talented. Maybe they shouldn't have gone 2-14, but still, they weren't a great team. I don't know how you can expect a team to improve by 8 games.
Why do you question me? Can't I just have my opinion?
Because it's a talk show, and that's what we do, the back and forth. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Peter, I apologize. You're right, Michael.
Thank you, Don. I'm glad you fell.
Am I questioning you on the, you thinking the Jets are going to be 6-11? Can't we just let each other be?
No, you're right.
I know I'm right. It's unbelievable. Anytime anybody disagrees with him, Peter, then he pulls the baby act now. Baby act.
Well, you guys both are, to be honest, a little difficult in this regard.
Yeah.
What
okay.
are you talking about? I thought that the back and forth is what makes it fun, not being a baby. But I had forgotten that I told Michael that I was going to agree unabashedly with him forever.
That is fair also.
And yeah. Now I'm going to have to do that. And then we'll see how it goes. But I just – you're right. The instinct in me was to quality show, push back, have an opinion. I didn't realize that was against what we're trying to do. You're right, Michael.
There's days, Peter, that it's so important that we're not together.
You want to?
Dear God, dear Triad, it was so fabulous to drop
you. I would love to slap him right across the mouth, see what he would do. Just slap him right across the mouth, see if he would actually attack me.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Because now the Don LaGreca, who agrees with you, would say, you know what? I deserve that.
God, I was making an argument. Smack your face dead.
By the way, the Mets final was 7-1, so they sweep the Orioles in a 2-game set. Matt Harvey did not have a great homecoming. 4 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned runs, a walk, and 4 strikeouts.
Oh, no.
But he did get a standing go. All right, we have to take a quick break because we have the great man, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer. Mike Breen will join us, talk about yesterday's Knicks-Lakers game and also about his impending induction into Springfield, which is pretty darn special. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
My love. All right, so there's a guy on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And he writes to me, "You are a Sanchez apologist." Apologist, all in capital letters. So I go, "Really? Explain, please." And then another guy, whose name is Salah's arm hair, says, "Consistently telling anyone with ears that the organization values him, values his power, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "He stinks." So then the guy who started this goes, "Yes." Like, that's it. So my point is, you ask me why they stick by Sanchez, right? Mm-hmm. I tell you why they stick by Sanchez. I'm not endorsing why they stick by Sanchez, but I'm explaining to you a question that why do they continue to run him out there? And I tell you, and it's not what you want to hear, so then I'm the bad guy. I'm the apologist. You are a clown. That's what you are, because I guess you don't understand the purpose of answering a question. Why do they like him so much? They like his power. They're afraid to trade him and then have him realize his potential somewhere else. That's why. They like how he can slug. They like the potential he has in his bat. That doesn't mean Michael Kay likes it. Do you understand the language, the English language we're dealing with? Doesn't mean that I like it. I'm explaining to you why they like it. I'm being asked a question, and that makes me an apologist. And if you think that makes you a jerk. I'm not an apologist. I'm explaining to you the answer. If that's not good enough for you, like the guy yesterday, they got to go the other way. They got to stop hitting for power. I'm going to tell you why they're not going to do that. Not that I endorse it. I'm telling you why.
It is you're giving their thinking, and their thinking may be flawed. Ultimately, we'll find out, but that's the answer. Why are they doing that? Because they believe that Sanchez can hit. They believe that their way of launch angle and home runs or nothing is the way to win. You're just telling them the facts. Not that you agree with it. Not that you're on board with it. But that's why. So when they call why, that's the answer. So if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you.
It's amazing. I mean, if I sat here and go, they've got to continue to run him out there. I've never said that. That would make me an apologist. So I guess my strength, all of our strengths, is that we have connections. I can tell you why people think things. Doesn't mean that I sign up and I buy it. I told you why the Yankees started get Davey Garcia in the playoffs last year. And then I tore them apart for doing it. So if I'm explaining to you why they did something, that doesn't make me an apologist. It makes me, I guess, locked in. People are just inherently thick. It's the best way to put it. They're thick.
Also, people want a magic solution to catcher with the Yankees. They want to be able to trade away something that's not special and get something that's special. Or they want to go to Higgy as if going to him solves all their problems. When you look at what he's been doing over the last month, it doesn't.
Well,
he shores you up behind the plate, but it's not like he's batting well.
It just comes down to the fans are done with him. And anybody that doesn't have that exact same opinion is an apologist. Michael's supposed to go on the air and say the Yankees are stupid for continuing to run him out there. They should cut him. And then all those fans will be happy. But that's not logical. That's not going to happen. Sorry you hate him. He's been in your crosshairs for the last 3 years, but as long as the Yankees believe in him, then he's going to continue to go out there and hit. That's
it. I mean, I'll get a little deep here now. This is what's going on in this country. You only watch the narrative that's being sold at the place that you want. You don't want to hear the other narrative because that's wrong. So if you're a liberal, you don't want to watch Fox. You want to watch MSNBC. If you're a conservative, you don't want to watch MSNBC. You want to watch Fox. You want to hear what you want to hear. Well, this is not the place for that. I'm going to tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. I think you should appreciate that. Maybe the country should be more like that, more open to other ideas, not just the ideas that you endorse. It then serves as an unbelievable echo chamber. You want your narrative parroted to you. Sorry, this is not the place for that. I'm going to tell you the truth. Don's going to tell you the truth. Peter will lie sometimes, but we'll tell you the truth.
But it's not even about, Michael, what would you do? They're not asking you that. They're asking, why are the Yankees doing this? This is why.
Right.
All right. Now, maybe if you were in charge, you'd do something different. But you're not in charge. And they're not even asking you your opinion. Why are the Yankees continue to run out Sanchez? Well, they're doing it because they believe that that's the right thing to do. Oh, well, Michael's just an apologist.
You know who's back today? You know who's back, right?
The Grifter?
No.
Baseball
better.
Stinks.
Morty.
Wow.
From Plainview. Morty, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you, old man.
You were a big hit yesterday.
Yes.
Was I? Well, it's an old man's view of the way baseball used to be. You're talking about a good friend, Mr. Sanchez.
Right.
How, in anyone's right mind, they could give Gary Sanchez $6.5 million to play for the Yankees is beyond me. He's not athletic. He's a lousy catcher. He calls a terrible game, and he hits once in a blue moon. Now, please, Michael, don't dispute what I have to say until you hear me say it all.
Okay.
There were other people out there, as good or better, who would work for a lot less. He is absolutely inept. They signed this guy when he was 16 years old, and he still doesn't know the strike zone. I watch him, and I watch Aaron Judge, who I adore. I think he's a terrific young man with tremendous potential. Everybody in the ballpark knows when he's got two strikes on him, they're going low and away. He swings at it. He couldn't hit it with a snow shovel, but he still swings at it. What does it take for somebody to come along that knows the game, who can teach these guys the strike zone? In my day, Yogi Berra could hit baseballs over his head or anywhere else, okay? Those days are gone. There's no more yogis. There's no more Campanellas. There's no more. Now, I understand that. And they just refuse to face the reality of the game the way it's played today, and it's played poorly. And the fans that pay all this money so that these teams can pay these guys ridiculous sums of money to create batting averages that don't even meet their weight is embarrassing and disgusting. It really is.
Michael,
they're killing my game. They're killing your game. And how you and Paul sit there and talk about launch angle and velocity, you ought to be announcing rocket launches at Cape Kennedy. That's where we need NASA angles and whatever the hell they call it down there. Do I care if a baseball just tips off the outfielder's glove and falls into the first row? It's a home run. Do I get extra credit if Stanton hits one 480 feet? What, do I get an extra half a run a foot? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I've got to tell you, I, as much as I love the game, and I'm watching it for 75 years, It's never been as bad as it is today. I saw you say three nights ago, there were 30 strikeouts.
Yep.
30 strikeouts, Michael, in one game. That's baseball? Are you kidding me? My grandmother getting off the boat could hit better than these guys, and she couldn't speak anything but Russian. It's unbelievable how these guys get paid to do what they do.
Can I ask you a question, Morty, real quick?
Go right ahead. Sure.
I would love to know something, because so far we've heard from you 2 days, and we've heard the things you don't love, like the current state of baseball. What is something out there, Morty, that you do love? I would love to know.
I love my wife of 60 years.
Beautiful.
My three daughters. They brought me home three great men. I got six wonderful grandchildren. One is a special needs kid, but we love them just the same and as much as anybody else. That's what life is all about. I love America. I wish it were going in a different direction, but that's another story for another day.
True.
And it's just bizarre that I read the paper daily from left to right, and then when I get too frustrated, I read it from right to left like we Hebrews were taught to do with children, and I get more frustrated. So,
okay. Any other sports? Do you like any other sports besides baseball?
Are you kidding? I'm a Brooklyn kid. I grew up with the Giants and the Knicks. I mean, Sweetwater, Clifton, and Carl Vaughn and all those guys. I mean, I'm going back before you guys were even on the planet.
So do you like the direction like basketball and football is going, or is it just baseball?
Baseball is my first love. I know everything is different today. It's money, money, money. I know how it goes, and I accept that. I was in business for many years, and I ran a pretty big company, and I'm retired now. Things are just different, and I accept the difference. But that doesn't mean I have to respect it, and I don't. I listen to guys. I mean, the $341 million they gave a kid from Cleveland, he's not Derek Jeter, not by a long shot. Not yet.
Now
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So they kind of do know the strike zone, Morty. They usually lead the league in on-base percentage. I mean, even when you were rooting for baseball, you know, in the 1940s, Morty, I mean, they used to say that the way you would pitch to God, fastballs up and in, breaking balls away. That's the way you get people out. So, I mean, Aaron Judge thinks it's a fastball, and then it breaks out of the strike zone. He does strike out on that a lot, but he has a very high on-base percentage. And in terms of the exit velocity, I agree. Sometimes we pound it down people's throats, but that's where they're making – their decisions, because the fact that Giancarlo Stanton hits the ball 120 miles an hour gives him a better chance of getting a hit, even if it's not a home run, Morty. So, and one other thing I want to ask you, who were the catchers that were available that they turned? They weren't going to spend the money on JT Realmuto. We know that. So what are the catchers that they let go by?
I've been looking at this kid McCann, the Mets guy. Right. I don't know if he's any better. I doubt that he's any better than Sanchez. But, you know, I think he's
he's getting
catcher.
$40 million for 4 years.
I think he's more mobile behind the plate.
But he's
plate.
$40 million for 4 years for a guy that you're not sure.
Well, I'm not sure about any of them, to tell you the truth. It's just so different today.
Yep.
Everything about the way they play the game is different. We discussed it a couple of days ago. They can't teach these guys to beat the shift. You know who had a shift in my day? Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Ted Williams. That was it.
But
now,
he didn't. But you know what, though, Morty?
Guys that can't hit 180.
But Morty, he would not go the other way, just like these guys wouldn't. He tried to hit through the shift. He never went to left field.
Ted Williams never had it go the other way. He was Ted Williams.
Right.
The greatest hitter that ever lived, ever.
And I will agree with you this on this, Morty.
Okay.
I really would. The game is not aesthetically pleasing anymore. The way they've mapped it out with their analytics, that the greatest outcomes are strikeouts, walks, or home runs. It's not good for the sport. They take the running out of the game. They take foul line to foul line hitting. I agree. It's not as much fun to watch. So I can't argue with you, but
yeah.
The people with the computers, Morty, feel that this is the best way to win.
The thing that frustrates me the most, and I think Morty will agree, all right, I can live with all the changes, but why can't there be, Michael, a two-strike approach? Where it's like, all right, I'm going to have launch angle. I'm going to try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But once you get me 1-2, I'm going to change a little bit. And I'm going to try to have a different approach to where it's not going to be about the home run. Now I'm going to try to go the other way, or I'm going to try to just make contact and try to salvage the at-bat instead of just weakly swing, trying to make something out of nothing and trying to hit that ball that you couldn't hit with a log out of the ballpark. Right, Morty? Why can't we just get a two-strike approach?
May I interject something here, please?
Yes.
Let me just interject. I would like to know how many hits are given up in today's game with two strikes on a hitter. You know what I think should happen when you got two strikes on a hitter? You knock him on his rear end. That's the kind of pitching that Early Wynn knew how to do, that Allie Reynolds knew how to do. Even guys, even more modern guys knew how to do it. Seaver knew how to do it. You push him back. You knock him out of the box. Then you go away. I can't stand it. They get two strikes on a guy, and he gets a hit on the third. You know what I would do if I was managing the team? The first time you do it, it's a $500 fine for each you and the catcher. The next time it happens, it's $1,000, and we're going to keep doubling it.
But here's the problem, Morty. If a pitcher knows he only has 95 pitches to stay in the game, if he keeps wasting pitches on 0-2, those are pitches that he's not going to throw at the end of the game. So they're trying
not
to get out.
Not a good answer, my friend.
But
not
that's
a good
the reason.
Answer.
That's the reason.
Well, that may be the reason, but I'd rather have him waste a pitch and push a guy off the plate and then go to beat him for strike three or a weak hit somewhere else.
Morty.
That's how you play baseball.
You are always welcome to call in. We're right up against the clock, but we love hearing from you. You have great points, and you certainly lay them out beautifully.
Well, thank you very much. It's my privilege to speak to the three of you guys. You got the best literate talk show on the air today.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, Morty. Thank you. I'm sorry, Peter. I know you. I love him.
Oh, I like. I love
not, I might not agree with everything he's saying, and in a sense, I do, especially the way the game is right now. But, I mean, talk about, like, the clarity and the way he's making his point. I love it.
Morty might be at the top caller right now on the show. I mean, you don't have to agree with him, but he delivers it
right,
thoughtfully.
Listen. You listen to him.
And we learned something about Morty.
What's that?
Rocket launch is a Ted Kennedy.
And he loves America, too.
Who doesn't? The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Take a quick time out. We're really up against the clock right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I love America.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Michael, I just heard something huge. Do you know what happened last night during the Don Show?
Who's that in the corner?
Oh, I did hear
with
this.
Everyone
did hear it.
Around.
How was it, Don?
Awkward in the sense that I had no desire to go to him.
Oh, why?
Well, because I was flowing with different topics, and I forget what he wanted to talk about, Anthony. I don't know if you remember.
Don,
Nick.
Don, in 1987.
And he was
given
the whole thing.
Did you play the Don and Dick song, though?
Yes.
Did he like it?
Richard, how are you, buddy?
Oh, very good. Don, can you imagine how the city is going to go crazy if not only the Knicks, if they can win their first round?
He seemed honored.
The Michael K. Show.
You are a clown.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, a little different. Don has an urgent ice pick,
pick
before we even start the Fire Hawk
out. Break the frozen ice.
Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. It's only because the game's just facing off now. Canadians and Oilers. I can get the Oilers at minus a goal and a half at plus 175. That's my bet. Meaningless game, but Canadians aren't playing anybody because they've already locked in. Same with the Oilers, but I think McDavid's in the lineup, so I'm going Oilers to cover at plus 175. That's Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlay, props, and future bets at the King of Sportsbooks. Get the app today. You got like a minute. Go do it. Hurry. All right.
Now, I would like to say this, Peter, just so that it's on the record. Anthony said in my ear there's an ice pick. Mm-hmm. I said I strenuously disagree. That's not the way to start the 5 o'clock hour. Anthony said, the game's starting right now. We have to do it. So I wipe my hands from this, but Don had to pick a 5 o'clock start, so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
It was 30 seconds, for God's sakes.
Come on, Michael.
Now, Eric Bolin of Newsday has tweeted out that Aaron Boone said there's a couple more staff members that have positive COVID tests. Boone said there's 7 in total positive COVID cases among the staff. Boone said, quote, out of an abundance of caution, Gleyber Torres being held out tonight.
I guess that's a contact tracing thing, right?
Hey, listen, Don, if it's penetrating the vaccinations they have, it's not going to just penetrate the vaccinations with the coaches. You would assume that they're going to be players that get this.
Right, but there must have been at least the reason there was the go-ahead yesterday with nobody out of the lineup was based upon they probably didn't feel like anybody got in close enough contact.
But no, because if you had the vaccination, contact tracing doesn't matter. You're still able to go. But there must be an inconclusive test out of an abundant because you could still – even if you were close to Phil Nevin and you have a vaccine, that they would not sit you down because of that. That's why they were able to play the game. But again, the Yankees have 7 confirmed COVID cases. And Torres is out of the lineup tonight as they wait on his test results. It's just amazing.
But, you know, this is going to happen, right? Like,
it shouldn't. And now when you're vaccinated, it's startling, really.
No. If they got the J&J, there's a 35% chance you could still get it. You won't get hospitalized and you won't. I think it's like close to 100 that you will not get it bad,
right?
But there's a 35% chance you're going to get it. So if they got J&J, yeah, there's a 35% chance, Michael. That's pretty good odds that somebody.
But the
is
fact
get
that
it.
All of them did.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling to me. To have, you know, what do they call it? Breakthrough cases? That many? 7? It's certainly not a good look for the J&J vaccine, I'll tell you that.
That all 7 were vaccinated?
I know that the one, like Phil Nevin and Reggie Willits were vaccinated.
Right.
All the coaching staff was vaccinated. I think all the staff was vaccinated. So these are vaccinated people getting the virus. Now Matt Blake, the pitching coach, and Anthony just tells me he's tested positive. Marley Rivera reporting that. So he was out yesterday. Out of an abundance of caution, because I guess it was an inconclusive test, but now he has it. This is not the banner headline for Johnson & Johnson, I'll tell you that.
Well, and we don't. I'm assuming they got Johnson & Johnson, Michael, because it didn't seem like they took multiple shots. It was like
right
the one. And who was it that after the shot didn't play? Was it Gleyber?
Gleyber somebody... No. It was Urshela.
Right, somebody didn't play because they had the reaction. So I'm just assuming they might. I think that's probably what they got, just because of the logistics of having to get 2 shots, and I think they wanted to get vaccinated as quickly as possible.
And Boone's saying that Blake is asymptomatic. So there you have it.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if Peter agrees. What would be disturbing to me is if multiple people got really sick, but – if they all are okay, then that tells us that, hey, then the vaccination's working and that people aren't getting really, really sick from it. Because I think because you get the flu shot, you sometimes get the flu, you're not in bed for 3 days or whatever. So something to think about.
Now, Pete Caldera, who covers the Yankees, said that Gleyber is out of lineup awaiting test results, acting out of, quote, an abundance of caution, but could possibly be cleared to play tonight. Torres had COVID this past winter. So Boone, quote unquote, can't comment on why Torres is being held out. Wow.
So we just wonder, you know, I guess we're just going to have to keep an eye on the Yankees. And they didn't postpone yesterday. It doesn't look like they're going to postpone today, but I guess it could happen if we get more players that are in that situation.
Now, remember, the Astros had gone over 85% vaccination, and we talked yesterday jokingly that Dusty Baker's finally able to, you know, chew on his toothpick, and now he's gone back to the mask today. And when he was asked why, he said, because Phil Nevin was vaccinated and he got the virus, and I don't want to get the virus.
Well, it may not be a bad idea, right? I mean, if you don't want to get this, then what's wrong with the insurer? If you're okay with wearing the mask, then what's wrong with just having the insurance, Peter, of just making sure that you're okay?
The hard part is, though, you know, people have been going through this for a very long time. And all of us, regardless of your thoughts at any point on COVID, everyone's kind of sick of having to wear a mask all the time, you know, every time you go outside. So if you're a guy like Dusty Baker, who your whole job, I mean, that's his whole job for hours every day, is sitting there with his players, I understand, that's a sacrifice. It's not nothing to not be able to, at any point, even post-vaccine, take the mask off. That's tough.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Still waiting on the Yankee lineup. They're holding off, I guess. And, you know, they were waiting to see about Gleyber Torres, but the Yankees still do not have their lineup out. And the Rays lineup has been out for 2 hours. But we know that Gerrit Cole is indeed starting, so when the lineup becomes available, we will get it to you. Just want to talk a little bit about the Knicks yesterday. I'm somewhat concerned in watching that game. And the reason that I even show any concern is because of the respect that I've gained about how the Knicks play. Their execution, or lack thereof, at the end of regulation and then at the end of overtime was, in a word, distressing. They didn't seem like they knew who was going to take the shot. It obviously is going to fall on Julius Randle. And Julius Randle, although he's had big shots this year, has not hit a game winner. And he had a chance to seal the Knicks playoffs, and at least the sixth seed, by driving the lane. Anthony Davis was behind him, and he clanked it off the back of the rim. Now, he hit a big shot in overtime, a big rainbow three-pointer, but it wasn't with, like, seconds left on the clock. And then when you look at what the Knicks did, as time's running out in the second overtime, it was laughable what they did. It was so inept how they ran that play. And R.J. Barrett didn't even hit the rim, didn't hit the backboard, I think. That's how bad it was. That's the best shot they got, a long three-pointer from straight on. So that's why I worry going into big postseason games, who's hitting that shot? Because you have to hit shots in big moments to win big games. Because you're not blowing many people out in the playoffs. You're not going to win games by 23. You might win games by 5, maybe 2. Remember, the Heat won a championship because Ray Allen hit a shot with time running out from the corner, a three-pointer. Yeah. Those are the shots that win playoff games and move you along in the postseason. And that's the one thing to me that's missing. And why we say the Knicks still need another great player, who's the guy? If it can't be Julius Randle, who's the guy? Is it going to be a 32-year-old Derrick Rose? I don't think R.J. Barrett's ready for it yet. Is it going to be Burks? Is it going to be Bullock? That guy has not stepped up, and that's the thing that's missing. That's why you need great players that hit big shots. That's what's missing on this team. They've won with grit and guile and determination, but do they have that skill position guy that's going to take the ball with 8 seconds left and drain it and put a dagger into the other team? They could have done it yesterday, a very beatable Laker squad, and they didn't have that guy.
And now they have won close games down the stretch here. You know, the Memphis game back at the Garden. They had a couple of them against the Pelicans. But, you know, if you're going to really hang with the Bucks and the Nets and finish off the Hawks, you're going to have to do that. Kind of, it's a similar concern I have for the Islanders in hockey. Yeah, listen, they can D up and they can really shut you down, but who's the guy that's going to score? I know defense wins championships, Michael, but you got to score. So when you're in this close game and you're working really hard, all right, then somebody's going to have to step up and score a big bucket late to win the game. Remember, it's not style points. It's scoring more points than the other team. Sorry, you've already got that I can hang with these teams, but can I finish them? Look at the two net losses, right, where they had a chance to win late and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just couldn't find that bucket when they needed it. You'd hate to see this team work their tail off, Michael, and lose just because they couldn't find that guy to hit the shot late in games.
And this has been the thing. I mean, all year long, we've been talking about this. And for the most part, in a super critical spot, it hasn't cost them anything that's changed the season. Though last night getting that win there would have been huge. But yeah, to your guys' point, in the playoffs, they could be playing a close game every night.
One more thing about the Yankee situation. Lindsey Adler of The Athletic reporting of the seven people that are positive on the Yankees, the coaches and the support staff, six of the seven are asymptomatic, which is big.
That's huge.
And you don't know the one that's symptomatic how sick that person is. You have no idea. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tino in Staten Island. Tino.
Tina.
Hey, Don, Peter, and Michael, how are you?
Good, Tino. How you doing?
I'm doing well here, driving on the Staten Island Expressway, heading home. I want to talk about last night's game, guys, and the inept job that Tom Thibodeau did of coaching last night. His substitution patterns down the stretch cost the Knicks that game last night. If you watch that last minute of the game, his substitutions for Frank Ntilikina and Derrick Rose, the play before that, about a minute ago, he did an offense to defense by putting in Frank for Rose. But in the last possession of the fourth quarter, with about 13 seconds to go, he puts back in Derrick Rose instead of Frank Ntilikina. Frank Ntilikina had probably one of his best games as a Knick yesterday. He was all over the court, you know, with steals and rebounding, and even hit three threes yesterday. But he failed to put in Frank, and Derrick Rose is standing there and watching Wesley Matthews grab that rebound. Derrick Rose does not box out, and they tie the game, go into overtime. Then in overtime, he uses a timeout when they have no timeouts left for that final possession. And it's happening throughout the season. You know, he's I don't know how nobody else is seeing it, but people give him so much credit that he's a genius coach. I don't see it as much. His poor executions down the stretch are killing this team. We cannot ever score on a final possession. It's the same play, Julius Randle, clear out, and throw up some lopsided shot. I mean, he's got to get better down the stretch if the Knicks are going to do anything. I'm talking from a Knicks fan for 40 years I've been watching this team. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy with the job. It's playing great. But if we're going to get past the Miami or Atlanta, he's got to be smarter down the stretch with his coaching.
Well, I mean, you bring up some points. He got really angry at Derrick Rose for not boxing out Wesley Matthews. I mean, that's the game right there. If he boxes him out, gets the rebound, then they win. And he was very public about it. The thing I didn't like that he did, he calls his last timeout when Julius Randle had the ball right at half court. It looked like he was trapped, but he wasn't. So that's why when they had that final possession, they had no timeout. They had no chance to draw anything up, and that's why R.J. Barrett had a laughable shot. He should not have used a timeout when he did, because I think he thought that Julius was trapped, and Julius was not trapped. He had gotten untrapped, if that makes sense. But when you're saying he's not drawing anything up except for Julius Randle, well, that's it. That's your best player. You're going to win or lose with Julius Randle. And what he said, and Mike Green brought this quote up too, that and I heard this, I thought it was, just because a play is drawn up for you doesn't mean you have to take the shot. It means that then you are in control of moving the ball. And that's what Julius Randle has done so well this year. But Julius Randle tried to go up against Anthony Davis in a big spot, and Davis played exemplary defense, and it was a 24-second violation. So Now, I think Thibodeau's not the problem, Tino. I'm surprised that you want to go up and in on him.
This team is not winning on their talent alone. This team is well coached. But there's only so much you can do when you don't really have anybody else. Right?
Yep.
And even the guy that you're drawing the play up for hasn't shown an ability to hit that shot.
No, that's the one thing missing in his arsenal. He hasn't done it. He hasn't been the guy before this year. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam.
Sam.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Yo, yo.
Hey, I got a couple of three things I want to say. One is about Quinn. I think him and the GM and president, I think they lost their jobs with that Islander game, the second one, because they looked so bad in that first Islander loss. There was no adjustments made. Like, they looked terrible that second game and got blanked, and then they got blanked again. I think that just kind of drove Dolan and Sather, in essence.
It didn't help the Islanders then turn around and lose two games to Buffalo. I'm sure that was a bad optic, too.
Say what? Oh, yeah, exactly. And then not responding to the Wilson incident in the third period, I mean, that was weak, very weak. So I think that was – but anyway, about Messier being a potential coach or front office, I think he would only be suited for coach. I can't see him as a suit. I just think he's too much of a competitor and your comparison to Ewing, he's one. much respect to Ewing. He was a warrior, but Messier won.
Well, I have no idea what kind of coach Patrick Ewing can be. I'm just saying, I keep hearing, well, how is he supposed to pay his dues? He's Mark Messier. Well, Patrick Ewing's paying his dues. He's Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing was an assistant in two NBA teams, and now he's coaching Georgetown. So it wasn't like Patrick Ewing sat there and said, I want to be the coach of the Knicks, and has done nothing. He's going out there, and he's trying to find a job. So I'm not comparing the two's level of greatness. What I'm saying is that if a great guy in Patrick Ewing can go out there and pay his dues, why can't Mark Messier?
I will tell you this. Messier would seem at some point, because he's so beloved, and he, you know, by the way, the Rangers have one cup, what, in 81 years?
Yeah, since 1940, yeah.
Pretty amazing, okay? And he's so beloved because he delivered that cup. Dolan doesn't want him to be coach. If he had wanted him to be coach, he would have been coach when they hired Vigneault. I'm sorry, he would have. And he doesn't want Ewing to be coach because there have been plenty of opportunities to hire Ewing. He doesn't think they're coach material. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Or, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Peter, or I don't want to have to be the guy to fire him. I don't want to be the guy to fire Mark Messier. I don't want to be the guy to fire Patrick Ewing.
He fired Phil Jackson.
Yeah, but Phil Jackson has no legacy of winning with – I know he, as a player, is a role player with the Knicks back in the 70s, but you want to be the guy – listen, it was bad enough with JD. Do you really want to be the guy to fire Mark Messier or Patrick Ewing?
I just don't think he thinks they're coaching timber. I really believe
that's possible.
I don't think Jim Dolan has a real problem firing people. He's fired a lot of people.
No, I know he's fired a lot of people, but
– But to Michael's
about
point –
JD being a legend. You're talking about Mark, but do you want to be the guy to fire Mark Messier?
I hear that.
Now, well, if the team's lost 15 in a row, the fan base will demand it. But in a situation like what happened here, where it was kind of on the fence of letting Quinn go or not, if that's Mark Messier, there's going to be hell to pay. I that's an awkward position. You said it with the Yankees and Don Mattingly, right?
I don't know if that was the case. I think Brian preferred Joe over Don. That's why they did it, because they were afraid of hiring Don Mattingly.
It just seems like if they had the knowledge or belief that Messier could be the guy, wouldn't you think that Dolan would gravitate towards it just for how sexy it
Absolutely.
Would be?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And remember, we've seen this before. There are some players. Magic Johnson wasn't meant to be a head coach. It worked with Bird. It didn't work with Magic. It just you just don't know without the experience. And like, this is not a market to try people out.
Couple more notes about the Yankees COVID situation. Lindsay Adler reporting everyone within the Yankee traveling party has been tested at least three times since yesterday. All seven people have been vaccinated, and all seven people were at least 2 weeks away from the final vaccination. So these are breakthrough cases to a level that it's hard to understand.
Now I'm seeing that the St. Louis Blues have a player in quarantine that was vaccinated. Jake Walman, who is it's considered a breakthrough case. He was fully vaccinated, tested positive. He's in quarantine. So it's not unheard of. And this is around the country, right? Or Fernando Tatis?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And none of the stories did it say that he was vaccinated.
Okay. So
I would assume that if he was, it would have said he was vaccinated.
Okay,
so I don't know.
Yeah, so it's possible he was not vaccinated. But, you know, here in St. Louis, you know, in New York, so it's not – It's not clearly not 100%. It could happen, but have we seen anybody get really sick? That's the key.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Still waiting on the Yankee lineup. Have not gotten it yet. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.